everybody. It's so good to have you join us for this episode of the Transformation Implementation Unit's podcast, Beyond Reform, a podcast where we discuss matters of public sector transformation in the government of Jamaica. I'm your host, Aniki Clark, and what better way to start off this podcast than with the Minister of Finance and the Public Service, Dr. Nigel Clark. Minister, it's really good to have you join us to start off this conversation on public sector transformation and to really zero in on compensation, which has been the topic of much discussion for quite some time. Welcome, Minister.
Thank you for having me.
Right, let's get right into it. I think the challenges around public sector compensation have been well discussed, but you dramatically elaborated on them during your budget presentation earlier this year. Can you just recap for us what are those main challenges?
Sure, just very briefly. I mean, the first challenge is that public sector compensation is too complicated. We have 325 pay scales in the public sector, and that means invariably that we end up with inequitous positions, because no one can manage 325 pay scale. Just by way of comparison, the UK, which is a country that has a population 20 times the size of our country, has an economy several times larger than ours, and their public sector, they have 7 pay scales across the entire public service. And the multiplicity of pay scales in Jamaica have arisen from multiple job evaluation tools. And what you end up with is, in one element of the public sector, somebody is called, you know, STW. And another element of the public sector, they're called MNO. But they do the same jobs and they're paid differently. Right. So the complexity of it is a problem. 325 salary scales or pay scales, we're doing something wrong there. Another challenge is that we have a multiplicity of allowances. We have over 185 allowances across the public sector, and this introduces a number of problems. One problem it introduces is that we have inequity across the system, because different persons in the public sector sometimes have a dramatic difference in the composition of their compensation. For some people, today, allowances represent 60% of compensation. For other people, it represents 20%. So when we have a wage negotiation period and we treat salary in a particular way, then persons can come out with a very different net result depending on the proportion of allowances that make up their compensation. We also have a situation where the allowances in many cases are non-pensionable. And so we have the challenge at retirement that persons' pensions bear little resemblance to the net pay they once have, even for people who have worked in the public sector for 30 years. Just by way of an example, right? By way of example, if allowances make up 60% of your compensation and salaries are 40%,
right.
Let's make the numbers easy, 55%, 45%, okay. And you retire at the top of the top accrual rate because you have worked for 30 odd years in the public service. But you get 2/3 of your salary, just roughly speaking. I know it's an average, but 2/3 of your salary. Your pension will be 30% of your overall compensation.
Right.
So one day you're earning 100 and you retire, your pension is 30. And you have worked for 30 years in the public service.
Unsustainable.
And then it breeds inequities between groups, because every group has a different allowance, a special allowance that works for them. It makes compensation non-transparent to the individual. Many people don't really understand their paycheck because it has so many line items of allowances.
Yes.
I've been in discussions with people saying to me, my salary is X. And when I say, show me a thing. And I look at the thing, right? Their compensation is 2X.
Yes.
But they're so focused on this thing called the salary.
Yeah.
So what we do is it becomes non-transparent to the individual.
Right.
And people don't realize how much they're actually paid.
Yeah.
And then I've given you about 4 problems with it. Yeah. Maybe the fifth one is the non-transparency to the country. By way of examples, we have categories of allowances today that are not even classified under salaries and wages. So when we report to the country, remember, you know, it's taxpayer money. We have to report to the country. We're spending it. Yeah. And we report and we say salaries and wages are X. But when you check it out, you know, some allowances is paid in another way and it come under programs. Right? We've been non-transparent to ourselves, non-transparent to the country, inequitous position, gives us problem at pension time. 185 allowances is unsustainable.
So, Minister Clark, the shift then is to move from just basic pay and allowances and benefits as separate pieces to total compensation, which takes account of your basic pay, allowances and benefits. It would be interesting to hear how the government intends to get to that new compensation system that is simple, that is fair, transparent, and of course, sustainable. What's been the approach?
Right. So let me just say one other thing as well, which is very important for your listeners. We also want to make a best efforts attempt to make compensation such that we can attract and retain the talent we need in the public service. Right. To run a modern bureaucracy, you need people with skills, you need people with talent, you need people with experience. And the skills that you need today are very different. Well, I mean, skills that, you know, were not a part of the public service 20 years ago, data science and, you know, web management and IT specialist networking skills and so on. So we are going to have to address the shortfalls in compensation. So one of the things we're trying to achieve with this compensation restructure is also to improve the attractiveness of compensation.
Yeah, so the public sector is not an employer of last resort.
It's not an employer of last resort, but an employer that's a very attractive employer.
Right.
But the question you're asking just now,
How do we get there? Simplified system.
So this is something that, you know, the problems with public sector compensation have long been identified, and public sector unions and bargaining groups, have been at the same page as the government with the fact that this needs to be reformed. Now, a reform of this nature is very ambitious. It consists of all of the public service, 110,000 employees or thereabouts. And it's very complicated, right? So the process involved getting external consultants who have international experience and local knowledge to, you know, take a look at our compensation system, to do job evaluation exercise and work across the public sector, to analyze the compensation levels as they vary by job type across the public sector, et cetera, and we have been at the stage. We are at the stage and have been at the stage for some time of just engaging in consultations with public sector unions and bargaining groups around the proposed compensation system. We have approximately 40 bargaining units and professional associations and unions who represent public sector workers in central government. And we have been meeting with them one by one. We have completed the first round of consultations where we have had the opportunity to present the proposals for feedback, for discussion, for analysis, for suggestions.
Yes. How have those consultations been going?
They've been going quite well. I think that, you know, a lot of people did not really expect this to happen, even though we committed to it. We said, you know, part of the arrangement for the 4-year wage deal was that we would implement this, you know, consequential reform. Many people didn't expect it to really happen. So I think there's been an element of positive energy around the fact that we're actually doing this. So that has been a positive effect of these consultations. There are other areas. The consultations have allowed us to dispel certain things that were not true. For example, it has allowed us to clarify misconceptions, to concerns, and there have been also valid points that have been raised that we have had to take into consideration, and points where we've had to sort of make adjustments to what we have been planning to do. So it's been a very fruitful exercise, and we're now engaged in a second round consultations. We've done second round consultations with a number of bargaining groups and unions, still have quite a few to go, but we're making steady and good progress, you know, around the conference table, as it should be.
And on that note, we take a break. If you're just joining us, we have been speaking with Dr. Nigel Clark, Minister of Finance and the Public Service, on public sector compensation. When we come back, we put some of your questions to Minister Clark, so be sure to stay with us.
The Mothers Union will be making a special contribution to Sister Cherry. She's really struggling to take care of her bills, you know.
Yes, I get that things are not too good with her. And the sad thing is that she gave her all when she worked at the parish council.
So true. And that is why I believe that this new compensation system that the government is implementing is a good thing, especially when you retire.
I agree. Some people don't seem to understand that it's really when you retire you really need support, and the new system will make them better off when they retire. A larger basic pay means higher pension, which leads to greater ability to look after yourself financially when you retire.
The government should have done this 10 years ago so that we could benefit.
The new public sector compensation system. Better pay, better pension. Visit mof.gov.jm to learn more.
Welcome back. We have been discussing public sector compensation with Minister of Finance and the Public Service, Dr. Nigel Clark. If you're just joining us, my name is Aniki Clark, and we're discussing public sector transformation generally, but zeroing in on public sector compensation. Minister, just before the break, you outlined the challenges and how we are going about ensuring that the system is fair, transparent, simple, and so on. We want to move now into how do we ensure that we don't get back to this stage 10, 15 years down the road. So what are the systems being put in place now around performance management, accountability, and so on, to make sure that we don't end up with another complicated system down the road?
It's been grounded in a new compensation philosophy, which has been incorporated into government policy. So as long as that policy is adhered to, then we should not end up where we have been. It's very important that the compensation framework is fiscally sustainable. We have in the past attempted to make compensation reforms only to find out that, you know, we make a start with one group. And we find out that it is so unaffordable that we stop right there. This time around, you know, doing our sums, doing our calculations, just to make sure that it fits within Jamaica's fiscal framework and does not impede on the sustainability of our fiscal trajectory and in particular, our debt sustainability. But it's going to take discipline as well.
Yes.
And it's going to take, you know, what, you know, even more important than reform in compensation is reform in minds.
Of course.
Right? And reform in minds that to have a proliferation of allowances, you know, for every activity ultimately is unsustainable. But you know what the real answer to your question is? The real answer is that every member of the public service, indeed every citizen of Jamaica, has a vested interest in Jamaica maintaining a stable macroeconomic framework.
Yes.
Okay? Because the truth is that where we have ended up, in part, has been as a result of a response to the harsh macroeconomic environment that we have endured for much of the past 30 years. Where we had unsustainable fiscal trajectory, unsustainable debt trajectory, and that has been our response. So we have to make sure, as a country, as a society, as a people, that we maintain discipline going forward and that we maintain a stable macroeconomic environment on which we build a compensation philosophy that has simplicity, transparency, sustainability, equity, fairness, as well as compensation for performance as its key elements.
And you mentioned compensation philosophy. And I think a key part of that is that people need to understand, okay, what am I being paid for? Does it mean that if I am an officer working at a particular station and I go somewhere else, I need to be paid an allowance, an outstation allowance? So there's that shift in mindset that must go along with the actual reform and restructuring of compensation. But on that note, we asked some workers to send us their questions, some very burning questions. We're just going to go into a few of them. One of them has to do with taxing non-taxable allowances. So how will I ensure that I'm not worse off if, for example, I receive traveling allowance, which was non-taxable, and it's now rolled into basic pay? How has that been treated?
I know that has been a real concern for a number
of public sector employees. And, you know, I've tried to provide assurance and reassurance to say that no one will be worse off. In fact, everyone will be better off. And we're measuring better off here in terms of your net pay, the pay that is yours after tax has been deducted. So with respect to allowances that individuals may receive that today they receive without tax, what would happen is tomorrow they'd have a new compensation package that after you apply tax, they would receive more than they received even when that particular allowance was tax-free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? So it's not just about your basic pay and allowances. It's about your overall.
It's about your overall total compensation. It's a paradigm shift. Right? And if we simply sort of think about it as a new way of doing the same things, then we're going to be confused, right? That if we think that, oh, what they're doing is just adding this non-taxable allowance to my salary and then taxing it. If that's all that we were doing, then yeah, of course, right, you would be worse off. But that's not what we're doing. We are implementing a completely new compensation system that just does not have that particular allowance. But that the compensation system is designed in such a way that your take home in the new system is going to be better than your take home today. No, your net pay, I should
your
say.
Your net pay.
Net pay today.
Right, because take home pay.
Take home can be different. Take home for everybody, take home can be different for different people because sometimes people have personal and private deductions, mm-hmm, right? You have a deduction for the credit union, you have a deduction, you know, that go to your church. You have deductions for a variety of things. Yes. And so that is what will influence your take home. But that's not the government's business. That's your private business. Right. So what we're saying is that your net pay, mm-hmm, is going to be higher under the new system than it is today.
Right. And another question has to do with special assistance to public sector workers. Minister, they have heard you giving out special packages. And then the question is that, what special assistance is there for public sector workers? And we need to be part of the aid package.
But I thought we were here to discuss compensation reform. Yes. But look, I understand the concern. I understand the question. In light of the fact that we'd have hoped that persons would be receiving the new compensation by now, but you know, we have to make sure it's done properly. And to do it properly, we need all voices to be heard. And the consultation process is extremely important. If it were just up to government alone, we could have implemented this from April. But it's important that the voice of the employee, the voice of the worker is heard and is incorporated into what is eventually implemented as best as is possible. So the downside of that, though, yes, is that it takes a little more time. And we are in a period where persons have experienced the impact of the war in Ukraine on their pockets. And we know that back to school might be a time of pressure. So what I've said is that for persons at the lowest end of the earning end of the public sector,
yes,
and I don't want that, you earning, you know, everybody thinks that they are probably at the lowest end. We don't understand the reality, but there are people in the public service who make $500,000 a year,
right,
and $600,000 a year,
yes,
right? And we're saying in this environment, the persons at the lowest end of the public service, we want to find a way to provide, help them with some back to school support, the details of which, you know, we'll work out and announce hopefully soon.
Yeah. You sort of hinted at it in terms of when, because everybody wants to know, when will I know my new pay and when will I get my new paycheck or the new bank transfer?
Yes.
What are the timelines around
Okay,
that?
So let's talk about process so people understand the process and the timeline that comes out of the process. We have to complete the consultations with all the public sector groups. Unlike a normal salary and wage negotiation round, that when your bargaining group is finished, your new pay comes in, what we'd ideally like to do is to finish with everybody, because this is a change of policy across government. So that has to be completed. And then we're going to have to go to Parliament, because this will mean spending large sums. As I mentioned, this is going to cost over $100 billion over the next 3 years.
Yes.
So for this fiscal year, we have to go to Parliament and get parliamentary approval for the funding that goes along with this restructuring to be channeled into the ministries, departments, and agencies. And then once we have that parliamentary approval, the funds are transferred and the payments begin. So, you know, we're hoping that over the next month or two, we should be able to conclude with public sector unions, or certainly the vast majority of them. That would put us in a position to go to Parliament still within the first 6 months of the fiscal year.
Okay.
And then for payments to be processed. But it will be effective from April 1st.
Right.
So public sector employees will be able to get back pay to April 1st at the new levels of salary, or certainly the difference between a new level and what you've been receiving to date.
Okay. You mentioned something that we're abandoning the current compensation system. And a feature of negotiations has been you get 4% or 17%. That's not what's happening with this system.
That's not what's happening. And it's important for us to acknowledge and understand that, right? If what we did was simply to provide, a salary increase to everybody, then we would simply lock in all of the inequities. Nothing would really change. We would just take the existing inequities and anchor them and just re-express them at a different level. What we're trying to do here is to create, to iron out all of these inequities and to create an internally consistent compensation system.
Yeah.
Right? Where there is, as I've said before in Parliament, we may be poor, but we'd have to be unfair. We have a compensation system that makes sense in terms of the relativities. Job one, job two, job three, job four, job five, they are in the right order, right? And persons who have more responsibility, more scope, more risk, et cetera, have a particular relationship with jobs that have less responsibility, less scope, et cetera. And that's the only way to achieve that, to move from a system where that is not a property of the system to one that is neatly and logically laid out with internal relativity being observed, is through a restructuring where if you work out the percentages, you're going to get different percentages for different jobs.
Right? Well, the principle underpinning it is that everybody will be better off.
But the principle underpinning it is that everyone will be better off.
Great. Yes. And so as we wrap, Minister, where do we go from here? What are the expected outcomes of this new compensation system?
Well, we're within this calendar year, public sector employees, our expectation is, will be receiving compensation in new levels and back pay to April. We are, concluding with the public sector unions in a consultative way. And, after we begin, and remember, the implementation of this is over 3 years, okay? So it's a 3-year implementation period. And during these 3 years, we hope to be working on the performance compensation piece, which is going to be quite interesting, and it's going to be another game changer. Yeah. Because here we're saying that that what you incentivize, you get. Right? So we want to incentivize performance. But by incentivizing performance, it's not an incentive if everyone gets it. That's not the definition of an incentive. Right? The definition of incentive is something that only some people will get by virtue of how performance is defined. And if you think about it from the perspective of members of the public, members of the public pay taxes, they pay GCT, they pay personal income tax, they pay property tax, all kind of taxes. And they, Jamaicans, think of yourself as a customer in Jamaica. We all are customers of public service, every single one of us, even public sector employees. And what we want as individuals, as Jamaicans, is that we want exemplary public service.
Yeah.
And so we want to get exemplary public service, one of the tools is going to be to reward exemplary public service wherever it exists.
That motivates others.
So we're hoping to design that over the next couple of years and put it in place. We'll again have to consult with unions and bargaining groups to make that a reality. And hopefully that's another big change that the members of the public service can look forward to.
Right, and it's all within the context of transforming the public sector.
All within the context of transforming the public sector, making it into a public sector that can deliver on our deeply held goals and ambitions for our country.
Minister, it's been a real pleasure having you stop by to discuss.
With the time up already?
Yes, I know you can always come back. You know, there's an open invitation.
You have to have me back.
Of course. And yes. This time we'll give you the entire 20 minutes. But it's been a real pleasure just talking through and getting a better understanding of what it is that the government is doing to address the complex, inequitous compensation system in the public sector. And we look forward to having you back here with us. Minister, it certainly was our pleasure having you, and I'm sure you will be back. And thank you, our listeners. We do hope we were good company. I'm Aniki Clark, inviting you to check out our website at transformation.gov.jm for links to this and other episodes of the Beyond Reform podcast. Catch you next time.